Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
All right. Our assignment from yesterday was we'd written down three dominant characteristics of someone we liked and disliked. And so it was to own these projections and see how we're like that too.
Mm-hmm.
With the recording and listening. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Sri Devi.
Hey, Sri Devi.
Hey, Sri Devi.
Hello. I just have to say I really loved this exercise because I happened to do all three of them on the same day, and watching the pattern was wonderful because I happened to be, and I didn't realize it, very ego-identified as I was doing the exercise around something I was really upset about with my partner. So on the first question, and I did it in kind of in reverse order, I started with what are the things, characteristics of the dominant characteristics, something you like. Nothing dropped in.
Hey,
I was like,
Sri Devi?
Yeah, okay. Sri Devi, hang on a second. You're hearing that too, Ashwini?
Yes.
Sri Devi, can you hear it, that crackle?
I cannot hear it, but let me switch for a second and see if I can get a better. Is that better?
It is.
Okay.
It is remarkably better. Thank you.
I apologize for that.
That's okay.
But,
well, it's still there, Sri Devi, so it makes me think it's actually not you.
I happen to be outside, so it could just be the energy here.
No.
So why don't I? Oh, okay.
Ashwini, do you think it's okay?
It's fine. I think it is. It sounds like the wind, if there is any. But
okay. Well, let's go with it, Sri Devi, because I want to hear what happened.
Okay. Well, if it gets bad, just let me know, and I'm happy to jump off.
Okay.
But I realized that I couldn't even talk about what I liked about anybody else because I was so in a state of dislike, and I was so ready to talk about what I disliked. And I wrote down the process. I was writing down the process of why I couldn't even write what I liked, and I loved that I saw that because what I saw was in that ego identification moment, my inability to go to another place because I was so wanting to stay in one place. And it was really lovely to see that.
Yeah, because ego really wants to be in negativity, right? So if it's a little negative, that's okay. But, boy, if it can get us into a basically I hate everything, then it's just, it's going to cling to that with everything it's got.
Yeah, and then, and I, of course, very quickly wrote down what I disliked. But then the owning the projections, I got to all of them except for one. It was just like, nope, I'm not owning that. That's completely that person. And what I saw about it was the ego desire could not allow me to own it because then I project what would happen is I would move to a place of compassion, and that just is not something ego would want me to do.
That's right. Now, if you had been willing to go to a place of self-hate, then it would have been happy for you to own that characteristic.
Mm.
Because he's like that, you're like that, there you are, you're both like that, really you deserve each other. And let's move on to other qualities that he has that you don't have that we can really focus on.
Okay? Yeah,
But because of your practice, you know that the whole point of owning these qualities and characteristics is for us to recognize compassion. You're a really, really, really good person. If you have this characteristic and you're a really, really good person, then we got to examine that whole thing, right? But if it's him, and right now we know he's not a good person, then there's that, right? But if you move to a place of compassion, it's going to be compassion for him too, and then ego's just sunk.
Yeah. And I was looking at this recently in a Zen coach call, the process of resistance and just getting toward the process almost automatically disidentifies you from what you're having the resistance around. And I felt that same way around this process, like just being the process of it, allowed me to disidentify, to go to the place of compassion versus that place that you were speaking of self-hate.
Yes, yes. And that is a very good, clear explanation of why awareness practice works. Because whether you're doing a recording or you're doing the exercise in the book, what you're doing is turning attention away from that constant conversation about what's wrong. You're bringing attention to curiosity, interest. You're looking at how this is, what, and in that movement, you have moved to a process of awareness rather than a process of ego identification. And it works like a charm every time.
It does. It does. So thank you so much. And I'm going to jump off because I don't want to keep the bad connection going. But thank you so much. And I'm so happy to be here.
We're happy to have you here. Thank you, Sri Devi.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sri Devi. That's a powerful, powerful insight. Right, Cherry? That there is a movement that I can make in resistance that is the acceptance of the resistance that allows me to disidentify from what is being resisted.
Yes. So basically, I'm in resistance. I'm in that I hate everyone and everything. And then it occurs to me, huh, that's really interesting. That's not like me, really. And so I become curious about that process that's happening. I recognize probably pretty quickly that it's resistance, that it's ego, and I'm out of it.
Yeah. And the point is getting out of it, not necessarily doing the thing that's resisted.
Exactly. Oh, great point. Right. Yes. Oh, that's such a great point. We're not doing these exercises in this workbook so that we can get the exercises in the workbook done.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. And it goes back to that, phenomenal discussion we had that love is not a feeling. Because if I am in resistance, I'm an ego. When I'm not an ego, I'm in life. That is the only movement we ever have to make. And so disliking or hatred is considered towards an object, but really if I switch processes, I'm in love with everything and everybody, or accepting of everything and everybody, and that's the only movement I'm making.
Yes, it's back to the old dark room, light room, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm either in the dark. If I'm in the dark, I want to explore the dark, because exploring the dark is the fastest way to get into the light.
Exactly.
For that simple, that simple reason of our experience is whatever we're attending to.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's so fun.
It really is. And it is fascinating, the way Sri Devi was laying it out, to realize, I don't like anything. I don't like anybody. There's that, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
There's something going on here that I need to look into. But if we're not practicing awareness, people can go through a lifetime identified with that process, just miserable all the time, and have no idea that it's completely unnecessary.
Yep. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, good morning. It's Jane in Colorado.
Well, hello, Jane.
Good morning. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for this show. I loved the previous conversation. I am in the middle of, I would have to say, the ultimate workshop. And your guidance about, I don't want to hate it, and I want to be with it. At group last night, we were talking about the gate, the musing with the gate, and it's like, okay, I can get it. I have some resistance against the gate, but I have received a medical diagnosis that is, you know, one of those life-threatening ones. And so it's really, the work for today about owning our goodness and our, well, just owning all of our qualities is really helpful, because I saw that mostly who's operating right now is a very scared little girl that isn't the loving, grounded, competent person that I was trying to, you know, take in those qualities for myself. So, yeah, so, wow, I'm getting to see a lot of beliefs. You know, to be happy, I need to be healthy. I want to live a long time, you know, that, et cetera. So, yeah, so yeah. I'm just very grateful for practice and just terrified.
Yeah, wow. Mm. Yeah, and doing your very best to be present with everything exactly as it is, without letting that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate come in and do damage.
Right? Yeah.
Because what you've identified is there's a terrified little girl, little person.
Yes.
And our tendency when something like this happens in our lives is to just bail out and leave a terrified little person in the grip of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, right? So the voices just rev up the, ramp up the terrifying conversation. The little person is just scared out of her mind, and it's just suffering in every direction. But with practice, what we see is, okay, there's that terrified little person. She really needs a conscious, compassionate, aware grown-up with access to a wise mentor to help her through this.
Yes. Yes. And because I have such resistance to things that are out of my control, and the unknown brings such terror, I just jump right to her, you know, because even the mentor and the adult can't tell me that that the cancer is going to be treatable, or, you know, I mean, we don't know.
No, Jane, no, nobody can tell you that. No, and you know what? This could have happened to you at 22, right? You could have been run over by a truck at 35 and been bedridden for the rest of, you know, I mean, anything can happen to us at any time. And nobody can tell us it won't. And nobody can nobody can tell us how it's going to come out. But what wisdom, love, and compassion can tell us is you'll be all right. I'll be with you. You won't be alone. There's nothing wrong here, right? You have everything you need to be with this experience, and I'm going to help you every step of the way. That is what the mentor can offer. That's what the wisdom, love, and compassion in the form of a grown-up can bring.
Yes. Thank you. I'm so glad these are recorded.
Me too. And, you know, the other thing about it, Jane, to keep in mind is that you have been practicing for this situation for a really long time.
Yep. I know.
Now,
I have.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Those voices would like you to believe that now everything is out the window because this thing has happened, and now here we are, and the universe just started on the second that I got that information, and I got nothing. And that's just not true.
Yeah.
That's not even close to true.
Yes, and I'm getting to see how many beliefs I have. If I do this, then this will happen. If I, you know, because I'm so healthy, this should not be happening. You know, I mean, just so many conditioned things that want to take me off another direction.
Yes.
Instead of
yes.
being here. Yeah.
Yes. And of course, the thing that we know, because we know this, because we're lucky to live in this time, is that that is the very worst thing that we can indulge. The very worst thing for our body, the very worst thing for our immune system is to let ego take over and indulge that, right?
Yeah.
And so that's why taking care of that terrified little person, if this were a real little person in your life, a person in a body, you would do anything around the clock to keep that child from being terrified and to comfort her and give her strength and let her know you're there. And you do anything, right?
Yeah.
And now you're required to do that for change.
Yeah.
Right? Before it was all theory, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was theory. We know that. We know we should take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
Now you got to.
More life. Yeah. Yeah, right, until you really have death looking at you. It's like, oh, no, I didn't mean that. I just want life. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
So many lessons that I don't know if I could have learned them any other way but this. So don't know where it's going, but I'm sure glad I'm going there with you guys.
I'm glad we're in this together.
Oh
my God.
So much.
So stay close. Hold tight. Don't let anybody talk you. Yeah. Don't let anybody talk you into any part of going it alone.
Oh yeah, no, I'm a 7 and I'm an extrovert. There's no problem about going it alone.
Good.
It's so hard to not go out into the future and worry. That's my job.
No, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Full-time job. All
thank
right.
You.
Well,
full-time
thank
job.
You, Jane. Yeah. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jane. It's just so good to know we have a refuge that we can turn to over and over and over again, right? That in the midst of the most terrifying circumstances, which in some ways is our opportunity to look at life as it really is, as opposed to what we've been denying about it or we're conditioned to deny about it all the time, mm-hmm. that we have support in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, in a different retreat, we were having a conversation, and one of the people was talking about the importance of facing fear now,
mm-hmm.
when we are at choice about it, rather mm-hmm. than waiting until life provides us with an inescapable opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was such a powerful, right, such a powerful mm-hmm. reminder that it's going to be one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 And to have a practice that assists us in coming back to here. And I love what you said about what the mentor and conscious compassionate awareness says. It's not about the false sort of...
Sherry, can you hear me? Hello? Sherry?
Sherry? Hello?
Are you there?
Sherry?
Yes.
Yes. Wow.
Oh, my gosh. Not only did it disappear me, it wouldn't let me come back. So, okay, I'm sorry about that. Where were you when I was last seen?
Well, I was just talking about the fact that that there is what you were saying about wisdom, love, and compassion says, I'm here for you in this circumstance. And it's not that false sense of you'll be able, the circumstances will change, or you'll be able to.
You'll be all right.
You know,
you'll be fine.
That's right.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, yes, we can always tell the mentor because it's an encouragement to be with the circumstances.
Yes. Yeah, rather than pinning hopes on something that may or may not be.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right, let's bring on another caller.
Okay. I'll try to stay here.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. This is Christine.
Hello, Christine.
Hi. Okay. Hi. You know what was going on in my head when, so you disappeared and Ashwini disappeared, and it was interesting how I was, when Ashwini came back and Sherry was not there, it was interesting what I was making up in my head about what Ashwini was thinking. You know, I've noticed that, well, I guess that's just how conditioned mind works, but it's always doing that. It's projecting what somebody else is, what's going on for somebody else, and anyway. That's,
we call it making crap up.
I know.
That's the official spiritual terminology for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And it's fascinating when you get a chance to just watch it happen, right? Because you're here, you're paying really close attention, and there's all this bizarre stuff going on in your head, and you're just watching it go.
Yeah. Yeah, and I notice getting attached to it or thinking that there's many things, but oh, that's interesting. I think I want to keep going with this story. Or, I mean, it can go a lot of different ways, but I guess the whole point of it is grasping my attention and keeping it.
That's right. Because what
you're saying
in that is it gets your attention, and it doesn't matter where it goes from there. You believe that what's happening is somehow valid. Is true. And that's the part we're meant to miss. So
mm-hmm.
so something happens and I think, oh, Ashwini is probably blah, blah, blah. And so I can either speculate about that or I can think, well, but maybe not. I mean, maybe she's blah, 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 blah. But the point that we're meant to miss is this is all made up.
Yep,
this is not happening.
It took my attention, and I can see it took my attention, and gosh, I'm really thinking about this, aren't I?
I actually believe that what happens inside my head is I don't even know how to say it, because there's a sense in which, well, it is real. It's happening inside my head. But it's like watching a movie and thinking that those are real people and that's happening to them.
Yeah. Yeah. And like with that example, it's a little more obvious to me. Of course I don't know what's going on for the other person. I mean,
we're here for it. But to me, the thing the discussion that you're causing here that's so important is to become aware of that process. So if we go back to the exercises, mm-hmm.
you know, think of somebody that you like. What do you admire about them? Think of somebody you don't like. What do you dislike about them? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if that points us back to how do I answer that question? How do I do that exercise? Well, I look to mm-hmm. conditioned mind, right? I look inside my head, and I watch what appears there. Now, if I can watch what appears there and just notice that and think, huh, that's really interesting. It's like some unseen computer inside my head is doing this. It's artificial intelligence, right, inside my head. If I get that, that's one thing. But if I'm caught believing that's true either about that person or I'm projecting that, so that's true about me or that's not true about me, that's the process we want to catch on to.
Mm-hmm. You know, can I just say one thing about that, which is...
Oh, please.
That conditioned mind... So there's a positive to it, which is... Well, there's probably a lot of them, but one that would hook me is that, you know, wow, that person sure can do that well, or, you know, that didn't throw them off. They really could, you know, they carried on in a really courageous way or something like that.
Yeah,
and,
or
yeah,
what a great sense of humor, or what a gift of gab, or, they tie a beautiful knot.
And so then I would want, then I would, that, so therefore it would keep my attention because, gosh, I'm going to learn from them, which is okay to learn from people that I would admire, but, yeah, do you see what I mean? There's some kind of tricky little way to keep my attention on something other than here.
That's right. And other than on the process that is directing my attention.
Oh, yeah, so...
Instead of just watching, watching the where the attention goes and what is the labeling, what is the assessment, and if mm-hmm. we want to get really excited about it, what happens with me when there is that assessment, and how do I know that? Because I just got a label for that too.
Yeah.
And when we start, you know, when we get into that place, we realize this is all happening so fast.
Yeah.
That we really do have to be here for it. We cannot go with a single complex sentence without getting far afield.
Yes. Yeah, I've been really noticing that in a lot of places. So thank you. It's
you
true.
Are so just welcome. Thank you.
I got to get back here.
Right.
Here. Here we are. Here we are again.
Here
so,
we are.
Yeah. Thank
All
you.
Right. Thank
Thanks
you,
very
Christine.
Much. Go happy.
Bye-bye. Go happy.
Thanks, Christine. You know, what's exciting about that conversation, Cherry, is the level of attention that is being paid to notice what was going on, you know, and that sequence of intelligence registering or awareness registering, this is the thought pattern that arose in response to an event. And then mm-hmm. that conditioned place where, there's a subtle comparison here, which is moving in the direction of feeling bad, but it's couched in a way that's meant to be the good person thing to have a thought about, right?
Yes.
If I can be inspired by this person and aspire to their attributes, which is a subtle negation of the fact that the only reason I can have that, I can project that attribute is because I already have it. It's a way of leaving what is for what is not without us
mm-hmm.
even realizing it.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah.
All couched in, you know, that's an elevating, inspired thought. So let's follow that, right?
Yeah, let's not notice that as a process or question. Let's just go with it because that's the way I should be thinking and feeling.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, and that sense of ego maintenance because it maintains what I am not, what life is not. It's actually negating what life is, which is in that
mm-hmm.
moment, I have identified courage and I'm experiencing courage. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to be told that that's not what I have and that's what I need to aspire to. Wow, that's fiendish.
It really is. It really is. Yeah. Oh, don't you just love awareness practice?
Oh, absolutely.
It's absolutely so thrilling. It is so thrilling. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Ashwini.
Well, thank you, Sherry. And, I hope we're working through our technology issues, but this one was completely just the phone system dropped the call for me. I don't know what happened to you, but that's what happened to me.
Same thing. No, and just to clarify this in case we don't get to talk about it again, I couldn't get back on. So, I mean, it wouldn't let me call out either. So, yeah. It's very interesting.
Very interesting. Anyway, our assignment for today, these are postures, attitudes, and beliefs that you have learned and now cling to, and these are the projections we were talking about. Look to see how many of them bring happiness to your relationships and how many lead to unhappiness. Would you let go of them to have a happy relationship? Record and listen.
Ooh. Ooh. What a question. All right. Well, I can't wait to see what happens to us today, and then we'll try technology again tomorrow.
Yes, live to fight another day.
Yes. Thank you so much, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody. Treasure yourself.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.